My guest at this time is Kathy Ruth. She is a senior fellow for legal studies at the Family Research Council. She was in the U.S. Supreme Court chambers today as lawyers from the Obama administration, as well as Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties, duked it out over the issue of religious liberties for businesses, specifically over the Health and Human Services mandate that employers cover 100% of all contraceptives, and that includes what critics consider the morning-after abortion pill. And Kathy, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, one of the big issues here that was addressed by the justices as well as the attorneys, among others, was do companies have religious beliefs? Obviously, their owners, their managers, their employees can, but do companies have such beliefs? How did that argument play out?
Well, that was a large part of the oral argument today. And it was very interesting. Chief Justice Roberts raised the point that corporations can actually file racial discrimination claims. So he said, if a corporation can have a race, why can't it have a religious claim? And the government's attorney didn't really have an answer for that. In my mind, I think a majority of justices believe that families who incorporate do not have to give up their religious freedom rights when they incorporate to do business. Cases in the past have involved kosher slaughterhouse, for instance, and typically the for-profit religious claims in the past have been individuals, so they haven't been corporations. But corporations, again, have been able to assert other kinds of claims, like religious exercise claims. So the weight of the arguments both in court and in the briefs would tend to suggest that Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood are going to win on that threshold question.
One of the things the more liberal justices brought up was that allowing companies to do this based on religious beliefs could lead to a slippery slope where businesses kind of pick and choose which procedures all across the medical spectrum their personal religious beliefs adhere to or agree with, and ones they disagree with, and so you're going to have every company plan looking different across the board potentially. How did the justices react to that? How do you react to that?
Well, the reaction to that charge on the part of the Hobby Lobby lawyer, Paul Clement, was that each case would have to be decided on its own merits in its own context, and that is exactly what the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the federal law passed in 93, is designed to do. It's designed to allow people who feel they've been substantially burdened in their religious freedom to make a claim in court. That doesn't guarantee they're going to win, and the federal government will have several good arguments it can make in response. And ultimately, sometimes the government wins, and sometimes the religious claimant wins. I mean, this balancing test has been with us since 93. So the test isn't new, and the fact is, yes, sometimes, you know, we can't know always in advance which way it's going to come down, but to deny someone the right to even make a claim is what the government wants. They don't want any religious-based corporations to even be able to make a claim, and I don't think the justices are going to go that far.
And referring to 1993, you're referring to the passage of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is the premise for a lot of the legal action we're seeing right now. Kathy, let's talk about the slippery slope the other way. If, in fact, the court decides to agree with the government that these different businesses and their owners have to provide a contraception that includes the morning after pill against their personal religious beliefs, how far could this go? What else could they be required to do potentially?
Well, I'm glad you're raising this, because this was actually the most exciting part of the oral argument this morning, when Justice Kennedy asked the government's lawyer, so under your argument, corporations could be forced to pay for abortions, that there would be no religious claim against that on the part of the corporation. Is that right? And the government's attorney said, yes. And you could hear a pin drop. And I think that stunned Justice Kennedy. And since he's always the swing vote, you want to stun him in a way that pushes him over to your side of the column. So That was kind of the most shocking or the most exciting part, when the government attorney admitted that that is really what their argument means. So I think that pushed Kennedy over to our side, frankly, and I think it will give justices pause that if we agree with the government, we're agreeing with that. That's really something that nobody really agrees to force somebody to pay for somebody else's abortion outright like that.
We're talking with Kathy Ruse of the Family Research Council. And Kathy, another issue brought up by the liberals on the court, particularly the women justices, was that potentially if you don't force employers to cover all different methods of contraception, including the morning after pill, then this is a burden potentially on women, and therefore they're considered second-class citizens. What's your reaction to that? What was the reaction from Mr. Clement?
Well, I thought Paul Clement's reaction was brilliant, and so I would like to adopt it as my own, and that is, if in fact the government has a compelling interest in providing free abortion-inducing drugs to all women in America, that's their goal, and that's kind of what they're doing with this HHS mandate, at least the challenged parts. There are other ways to accomplish that goal without conscripting religious companies who have a religious objection to that. For instance, the government could simply provide insurance for these abortifacient drugs themselves. The government could do it through Title X clinics or another way. The government could provide subsidies or fund the providers of these items so that the women could get them for free from the provider. So he pointed out several ways the government could accomplish this goal, which we don't agree with the goal, but if this is the goal, without having to dragoon religious family-based companies into doing something that violates their religion.
Kathy, you said in a statement following the oral arguments issued by the Family Research Council that you were cautiously optimistic that the court would find for Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties in this case and against the HHS mandate. You've already explained why you're optimistic. You think Justice Kennedy is probably on the side of the companies here. Let's talk about the cautious side now. Is this just as a result of 2 years ago, the reaction after the oral arguments, people thought the individual mandate was coming down and ultimately it didn't? What else gives you pause here?
Yeah, well, you always want to be, oral arguments really do not point to the result of a case. And right, just like you said with Obamacare itself, many people really thought that was going to go the other way. But maybe a troubling part of the argument today was the fact that Justices Sotomayor and Kagan seemed to think that the easy solution to this problem was simply to have these religious businesses just dump all their employees' health care, just drop everybody's health care altogether, pay the penalties, and the employees could then go to the exchanges and get the abortion drugs in the exchanges. But I hope that they will not be able to convince three other people to come their way on that, because that would not be good for the businesses, because they'd be forced into something they don't want to do. I mean, they want to provide health insurance for their employees, but it would also be bad for the employees. And I don't think these justices are really thinking about it, because when you have an established health plan and an established doctor that you know and trust, losing that plan and losing your doctor, it can be a traumatic thing, and nobody wants that. So the idea that it would be just so easy just to drop everybody's health insurance and they could all go over to the exchanges and everybody would be happy. The exchanges are a mess. This is not good for employees. And so I think there's another part of that story. A lot of the argument focused on this from these two justices in particular, and I just think it was short-sighted. I hope they do not get enough people to join them in the vote.
Well, in about 3 months, we'll find out exactly what the breakdown of the nine justices is on this critical case. Kathy, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Kathy Ruse is a senior fellow for legal studies at the Family Research Council. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.